Happy holidays! It's your host, Amy Geckel, and we're here with entry 20 of the Eating Disorder Diaries. It's a solo episode today. It's been a minute. I'm excited for this. Season one is wrapping up pretty soon. There are going to be 22 entries in this season. And then I'm taking a little hiatus. 2024 is going to be a year for me. It's my wedding year. I'm doing all of the things. But there will be a season two. So subscribe if you haven't already so you can be notified when the first episodes come out. I have an idea for the next season that I'm so excited about, guys. I will be sharing it eventually. So also follow me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries. I will still be posting on there from time to time. And I love when you guys DM me on there. I feel like it's just the best way to connect with all of you. And so many of you have reached out and it's been such a blessing. So anyways, if you are caught up on episodes at the time of this release, you know that right now I'm at my future in-laws. It's Thanksgiving week here in the States. Holidays are in full swing, and I'm leaving for Florida next week. I'll be there for the month of December. I will be bringing my dogs. Fiance is headed home, so it's going to be a little month without him. We'll miss you, Brendan. But I'll be laying out at the pool all day, every day, working from home. It's going to be a good time with my parents. It'll be my dog Nala's first time in Florida. I haven't really talked about my dogs too much on here, but Nala is our little psycho. Definitely very, very hyper. Lucy's been in Florida a few times, and she actually really loves the beach. So I'm excited to bring them there and really just be with my families in the holidays. I don't know. It feels like a special holiday season being my last Christmas as a Geckel. I'm taking Brennan's last name. So it'll be a good time. But when I think about the holidays, I think about how they used to be for me when I was suffering from an eating disorder for 16 years, when I suffered from bulimia. So I thought now would be a good opportunity to talk about combating the urge to binge during the holidays. I've learned a lot over the years and I want to share what I've learned. It's what I'm trying to do with the whole podcast, but I just feel like today's episode is going to be really special for me and I hope that you find it really helpful. I think that this episode is a reflection of something that I wish I would have had when I was suffering. I think the more we share about our experiences, the more that we can learn from others. You know, eating disorders aren't talked about enough, so hopefully you can find some good takeaways here. But as we know, oftentimes holidays equates to food, which can be a really amazing ritual with your loved ones. But when you're suffering from an eating disorder, the holidays aren't always a good time or a safe time. Personally, I would be very secretive with my eating disorder behaviors, and it felt so isolating because I just felt ashamed of what I was doing and I didn't want to talk to anyone about it because I felt like it would upset them. But being in recovery now, I have a whole new appreciation for the food I'm eating during the holidays, and I have a whole new thought process in my head. So if you are someone who suffers from binge eating or bulimia or struggle with food, especially around the holidays, join me in this episode because we're basically going to spend the day together. We are going to wake up together and have a little morning routine, and then we'll do some activities together. And I'm going to provide tips and tricks that really helped me fight those negative thoughts, stop the behaviors, feel better, and get to the point of recovery that I'm at now. So here we go. This is entry 20. Nervous about binge eating during the holidays? Listen up. Good morning, sunshines. Pretend it is Thanksgiving morning or Christmas morning or, I don't know, just a morning around the holidays. I mean, it's that time right now. If your mornings are anything like mine, And mind you, I'm a morning person. I love to wake up at like 6, 6:30. So maybe don't do that. But if the rest of the day is like mine, we're going to be in sweats all day. We might be rotating between a few pairs of sweats. But yeah, the first thing we are going to do is follow the morning routine that I do. I do it basically every day in my recovery. It's a huge part of my active recovery. So first things first, we're going to drink water. And then we're gonna do a guided meditation. I've talked about the meditation channel I use before. It's called Great Meditation on YouTube. I love it. I try to do at least one of their meditations every morning, maybe in the middle of the day. They also have a channel for 5-minute meditations, but I really like the 10-minute ones that they have on their main channel. So we're gonna do one of those 10-minute ones together. I have specifically linked the one I would like you to do with me in the show notes because I'll be referring to it in the rest of the episode. And we're going to use it for a little journal prompt. So on YouTube, it's called Guided Meditation for Overthinking. You are not your thoughts. So I would pick a cozy, quiet spot to meditate. I usually like to meditate alone on my couch in the mornings. But since I'll be at my in-laws, I will probably just put my headphones in and sit up in bed next to Brendan so he doesn't hear me. I would just say if you're gonna meditate in bed, try to make sure you're fully awake, sit up straight, like against your headboard, so you don't drift off during the meditation. I have been prone to doing that many times. But yeah, I just like to sit there and breathe and listen to this woman's beautiful voice and her message, because she always has a message in these guided meditations for 10 minutes. So if you're listening to this before Thanksgiving or like before a holiday where you know you might be struggling, I would go to the show notes and save this meditation to do the day of. So you can have it like in your texts or in your phone notes or something. But also, if you like the meditation, I would just subscribe to the Great Meditation channel. They put out new meditations every single day. So I literally just open up my YouTube app and there's usually one sitting on my homepage for me, ready for me to meditate to. And it always just has such a good, powerful message. So now it's time. Go pop on the meditation and we'll be back right after this break. On the outside, you have it all together. You're successful. You seem happy. But what your friends and family don't see is that you're living in the vicious cycle of bulimia. You know something needs to change. Your health depends on it, but you just don't know where to start. That's where Conquering Bulimia comes in. It's a one-of-a-kind online recovery course brought to you by certified eating disorder coaches Sarah Lee and Merritt Elizabeth. They know exactly what you're going through. They've both recovered from bulimia and have teamed up with leading experts to create an online course with over 70 short videos to jumpstart your recovery. Conquering Bulimia is private and self-paced, filled with personal stories and coaching tips that will teach you how to change your behaviors for good. And it's affordable, offered at an incredible discount of 60% of the cost of one-on-one coaching. Break free from bulimia on your terms and start living the life of peace you deserve at conqueringbulimia.com. Welcome back. How was your meditation? I felt like this meditation was so fitting for this episode because when I was struggling, I was constantly battling with my thoughts. I believed really any thought that came into my head, the negative thoughts, the thoughts that said, you know, I had to binge eat or I didn't look good or whatever it was. Any thought that came through, I truly thought that it was Bible, you know? So I think this meditation does a good job with helping you realize that you are not your thoughts. So now we're going to move on to the next part of the morning routine, which is journaling. And I figured we could journal about the meditation because I find that more often than not, if I write down what I took away, I'm able to remember it and resonate on it more during the day. Now it helps me if I'm like about to have a meltdown at work. But I also think it can really help you if you're teetering on acting on a behavior, because if you remember how you felt earlier in the day, you might be more inclined to choose a healthy behavior instead of letting yourself go down the rabbit hole that I'm all too familiar with. So get out your journal or a piece of paper. I'll be pouring myself a coffee. Go pour yourself a warm drink. Have more water. And here is what I suggest reflecting on in your journal entry. You are not the thoughts that you have. There's nothing to judge when your thoughts occur. They simply are. What does that mean to you? What eating disorder thoughts do you have that you can label as not real? What did it look like for you to simply allow your thoughts to be and always go back to trying to connect with your heart's energy center? Have you ever connected to your heart's energy center before, and how did that feel? There's a deeper truth there than any thought that pops into your mind. What truth came forth for you? So now I'll answer these like I would in my journal entry. Hopefully, if you're struggling with what to say, this gives you some inspiration. So let's see. What does it mean to me that I am not my thoughts and that my thoughts simply are? This goes back to the time that I started going to an eating disorder therapist and I learned for the first time that my thoughts weren't real. This was a huge revelation I'd never thought of. Now I understand that I don't have to believe a negative thought that comes into my head, that thought isn't me. It could be my brain tricking me, sure, but I don't have to believe that negative thought. I can just let it go. And that reminds me of the concept of diffusion that I learned from a nutritionist that I was seeing. And the way she described it to me is that you can let your thoughts diffuse. She had me picture a leaf floating down a creek, and that leaf is my thought. You can acknowledge that the leaf is there, you can watch it flow on by. And that concept is really possible. You can watch your thought float on by. You don't have to be married to these negative thoughts that are coming into your head. Some eating disorder thoughts that I used to have were, let's see, if I was feeling bloated, I used to think that I would need to use behaviors to fix, quote unquote, fix my bloat. I used to always tell myself that this would be the last day or the last time I'd ever indulge in a behavior, and it never was. And those are just two examples right there. Obviously, neither of those are real. I think we can easily look at those and now realize that that is not my truth. Those thoughts aren't real. So if you're having similar thoughts to that, try to apply that concept to your thoughts as well. If they're not real for me, chances are they're not real for you. Have I ever connected to my heart's energy center before? I have. I do all the time in these meditations. There's a lot of them that have you do that or have you breathe into your chakras. And doing this practice has honestly made me a lot more spiritual, which is an added benefit. I really do connect with my spirit now. I connect with my inner child. And I think the deeper truth that I feel in my heart's energy center, and that I really knew at the time of my healing, was that my eating disorder was not serving me. I deserved better. I deserved a life free from the chains of my eating disorder, and that I loved myself. I think connecting to my heart allowed me to break free. And in the meditation, she talks about this eagerness or willingness within you to continue forth throughout the rest of your day and the rest of your life, feeling connected to your heart's energy center and believing your truth rather than the negative thoughts. So to wrap up these answers, I just think, imagine you do this kind of exercise every day. It takes me 20, 25 minutes in the morning max. It has effectively changed my brain, changed my day, changed the way I think. So hopefully some of you can take away some of my beloved morning routine activities and implement them in your life. But now it's time to get on with the rest of our day. I can't help it. I love the little jingle. It's a holiday season over here. So what are we doing next? For me, I am going to be working out. I will definitely not be doing anything crazy. I am on vacation, but because our dogs are with us, we'll definitely be taking them for a nice long walk, get them tired out. And I also really love YouTube workouts. There's so many good ones available for free. I think I've talked about MadFit on here before, but I'm gonna link a few of her workouts. They are pajama workouts. You can literally do them in your sweats on the floor. I always do them in my mother-in-law's living room. And when I'm there, Brendan's siblings will always walk in and I'll be like bobbing my legs up and down on the floor. I'm like, don't look at me. But they'll be pouring mimosas. I'll join them right after. But yeah, for me, I love just a little bit of movement. I'm really consistent with it, which I'm proud of. I don't beat myself up when I'm not going too hard. And I just think I have a really good relationship with it at this point in my life. And I would encourage you all to get some type of movement in before the day really starts if you can. But now let's say it's lunchtime, dinner time, snacks are out, we're drinking, we're indulging. I'm going to give you some tips that I used to help me better manage those pesky eating disorder thoughts that would pop into my brain and lie to me. First of all, and this one is arguably the hardest one, but tell someone if you can that you're struggling. Eating disorders thrive in secrecy. If you have someone you can confide in, that almost lessens the voice. I feel like telling on it tells that voice, like, we know you're up to something. If you don't have someone you can talk to, I invite you to come to my DMs. Like I said, my Instagram is at the Eating Disorder Diaries. I would love to be a sounding board for you and offer any support that I can. Next tip is to not restrict. If you eat breakfast normally, don't skip your breakfast. Honor your body's cravings throughout the day. I know that might be hard because for me, I wasn't necessarily in tune with my body when I was struggling, and that's something that I still work on, but I think it's important to allow yourself to indulge to a certain point and also establish boundaries. For me, this looks like allowing myself to have a few mimosas for breakfast and not really caring if what I eat for breakfast is something super sugary, but also knowing that later on my body will probably want more vegetables and more nutritious foods. So leaning into that. But also, maybe there's a side that I don't really like. For me, that's stuffing. I just really don't like it. I don't have to have that. I don't have to eat everything that's in front of me. And also, if you can mindfully eat, which I know I've talked a little bit about it before, but if you can be in the moment and really slow down, enjoy your food, chew your food, taste it, it'll help your body send your brain those fullness cues so you're leaning in more. And this is coming from someone who is a very fast eater, admittedly, so I know it's challenging, but the more you think about this ahead of time, the more realistic it is that you're actually going to be able to mindfully eat. This also makes me think that for all the ladies who are listening, if you don't already know, try to figure out where you're at in your cycle, especially if you're about to start your period. Chances are you're going to be more hungry. Lean into that. That's your body asking for it. You are allowed to feel hungry and you are allowed to satisfy your body. Now, also remember during this time that we did that meditation in the morning, our thoughts aren't real. Remember the concept of diffusion. Remember the truth in your heart's energy center that you meditated on. I know what it's like to have a thought snowball really quickly, and all of a sudden it feels like out of nowhere, you're spiraling and you're thinking about using behaviors and you feel like you can't stop. But if you can breathe and remember your truth, it should really help you be able to take a step back and remember that you don't have to believe those thoughts that are occurring. And if it happens and you engage in behaviors, my best advice is to get curious. Ask yourself why. Be your own observer in a non-judgmental way. You don't have to beat yourself up if you're suffering from an eating disorder. You are not alone. And the more time you spend getting curious and asking yourself why you do the things you do, the more you'll be able to take a step back and listen to yourself and put the puzzle pieces together. This really did help me. But if you can fight the urge and ride the wave and realize that you're using the behaviors to numb in one way or another, you're breaking the cycle. you might feel uncomfortable and like shit, and you might not like the way that you look, but you are showing to yourself that you can fight this. Hopefully these tips have helped. I really still try to use these tips actively in my recovery. I will be using these in one form or another during Thanksgiving, during Christmas. So they come from the heart, guys. And I wanted to wrap up this first segment on a more positive note around food, because like I said earlier, it's a really fun ritual for me during the holidays, and I love cooking. I love coming up with new recipes. I wanted to share with you guys an appetizer that will be repeated this year. It was a huge hit at the in-laws last year, and I also like to bring this to basically any gathering. It's a crowd pleaser for sure, but it's basically goat cheese toast. I don't really have a name for it, so let me tell you how I make it. You start with a nice fresh baguette, slice that into pieces, maybe an inch, 3/4 of an inch thick. You should have probably 20 pieces or so, depending on how big the baguette is. You will then brush both sides of the pieces with olive oil, sprinkle some salt and pepper, maybe even some garlic powder. I've used flavored salts before. I've used truffle salt. It's so good, but yeah, at least use olive oil, salt, and pepper. Then put the pieces on a baking sheet and pop them into the oven. I honestly usually just eye it, but I would suggest putting it in at 350 Fahrenheit, maybe 4 minutes both sides until they're golden. Once they're golden, they're good. Don't overbake them, but you want them a little crispy, a little chewy. While the pieces are baking, get a log of goat cheese, put it in a bowl, and then put that in the microwave for 30 to 60 seconds so it gets a little soft. Once your toast pieces are ready, you'll spread an even layer of goat cheese on each piece. And yeah, so now you have goat cheese toast, but here's where we take it up a notch. You will top each piece with fresh basil, drizzle honey on all of them, and sprinkle black pepper. I personally prefer cracked pepper. And yeah, that's it. It's super easy, but people freaking love them. And if you are looking for something to contribute to your holiday party, I would definitely recommend this. I think I'll film myself making this on Thanksgiving, put it on my Instagram stories. So stay tuned. And this is a wrap for segment one. We'll be right back with segment number two. Segment number two, you know what's coming. We have a recommendation and a positive self-affirmation. Same with every episode. We'll start with recommendations. Boy, oh boy, it's been a minute. We've had so many guests, and I've been wanting to give my own recommendations on here. I've been bursting at the seams. They're piling up. So let me just tell you guys what I've been loving lately. The first one is so random, but it has to do with the way I've been cutting my nails, because they've been looking like I have fake nails, but they are the real deal. Also, something random, during COVID, I became allergic to nail polish. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I was giving myself too many at-home DIY gel manicures, and I contracted a type of dermatitis, which as a result made me permanently allergic to most nail polishes, which is devastating, but I can still use clean brands, Essie, Sally Hansen. I mostly religiously use Essie, and I do miss the gel, but Essie does the job. So yeah, my nails are getting really long. I'm trying to get them looking good for the wedding, and the way I get them to not break when I'm growing them out and to still look good, like have a good shape, is to cut them almost like a triangle. I used to cut them very square. I liked that shape for a while, but when you cut them at an angle, they're almost pointy in the middle. They'll still give you that look of length in the middle of them, but the sides, there's nothing there, so they won't break. I don't know. Hopefully you can picture it. I would definitely recommend trying it if you're doing your at-home manis trying to grow out your nails. And yeah, I know this is not related to recovery at all, but if you want your nails to look snatched, here you go. Another recommendation I have, not related to recovery, just something I'm loving, is the book's Fourth Wing and its sequel, Iron Flame. Fourth Wing, Iron Flame. If you're on Book Talk, you've probably heard of these, but if you are a fantasy lover, Harry Potter lover, Twilight even, you will love these books. I was bawling at the end of the first one. The books are super long. They have dragons. They have lust. They have good character building. I definitely am into this series right now. I've only just dove into the second book, Iron Flame. It was just released this month, but I have a road trip coming up, so I'm sure I'll make a good dent on that. I'm really excited to finish it. If you guys are reading Iron Flame, let me know. And finally, my last recommendation was actually suggested to me by a follower of mine, Jason, who wrote and directed a short film called Lenny. I have the YouTube link in the show notes if you want to check it out, but this film is about a middle-aged actor struggling with an eating disorder, and it aims to bring awareness to the fact that men suffer as equally as women. Eating disorders don't discriminate with sex or race or age. And the film also brings awareness to laxative abuse in men. So I just wanted to highlight this because I think it's really important to make others, whether you're a male suffering or you're struggling with laxative abuse, feel less alone and know that others can relate to you. So thanks for sharing that, Jason. With that said, positive self-affirmation, something I love about myself. I encourage you guys to do this exercise as well. It's really helped me in my journey to self-love. But today I will say what I love about myself is how far I've come, especially because of this episode. I have no doubt in my mind that during the holidays, I'm going to be able to indulge without the crippling guilt and shame I used to have. I know me at the time I was suffering would look at me now and be so proud of us and so thankful that we put in the work. So with that, I'm saying goodbye for now. I'll be back in 2 weeks. We have one more guest this season, and I'll give you a hint. She is a badass CEO in the global eating disorder community. So hit subscribe so you can listen in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to you then. This podcast was written and produced by me, Amy Geckel, with music from Coma Media. If you want someone to talk to besides following me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries, you can email me. My email's linked in the show notes along with everything else discussed in today's episode. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and holiday season if you're celebrating, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks.